The Florida Gators took care of business on Saturday, defeating the Mississippi State Bulldogs 45-28. Wasn't pretty at times, but it was a win. The Gators broke their 7-game losing streak against Power 5 conferences and won their first SEC game, y'all, this is wild, since October 14th of last year. We beat South Carolina that week. We have not won an SEC game since. Okay, so let's get into it. I want to talk about the good first. We usually, on this channel, the day after, we break down the good, bad, the ugly, and we really haven't had the opportunity to do that much this season because there hasn't been a whole lot of good to talk about. So there's some good today, and I want to talk about it. Graham Mertz was great. He was 19 for 21 for 201 yards in the air, 3 touchdowns, and 24 yards rushing and 1 TD on the ground. Y'all, Mertz averaged 8 yards a carry. There was a point in time where Mertz was our leading rusher in this game. He looked really good. He looked in control of this offense. He had some really money throws. He had a phenomenal game. DJ Lagway was also good. Perfect 7 for 7 for 76 yards through the air. He had 3 carries on the ground for 22 yards. There was that one fumble, but shout out to Austin Barber, who recovered that fumble in the end zone and scored. There is maybe nothing I like more than big man touchdowns. Probably good special teams play, but I love a good big man touchdown. So shout out to Austin Barber, right place, right time. Love seeing your name across the ticker at ESPN, buddy. You earned that one. Aiden Mizell, another guy on my good list here. He played really well in Trey Wilson's absence. A lot of guys did, and I'll get to that in a minute. But was that not the prettiest 65-yard touchdown that wasn't? Listen, he made no less than 8 guys miss. And if you saw that penalty on Montrell that brought that back, it was called a crackback block. We call it football over here on this channel. Definitely weak penalty, in my opinion, but that was like ESPN top 10 plays. Gorgeous, gorgeous touchdown called back. Aiden Mizell really stepping up. And, you know, I think one of the things that I enjoyed most about yesterday was how many guys were involved in this offense. We saw Burke, we saw Badger, we saw DK, we saw Mizell, we saw Hansen, Borningham, Livingston. I mean, the list goes on. So many guys were involved. Guys who we've heard positive things about, you know, this past offseason, the offseason before, really hadn't, you know, translated onto the field. But we saw them. And I think that Florida's offensive success going forward will hinge on how many of these guys you can get involved with it. Florida looks better when they spread the ball around. Shout out to special teams. Chimery DK returned a punt for 35 yards, which eventually led to a touchdown on that drive. Trace Mack, 47-yard field goal. And I don't know how closely y'all watch special teams. Obviously, I watch it pretty closely. But shout out to Rocco Underwood. Huge tackle on the Mississippi State punt returner, Kevin Coleman Jr. Let them know the Gators were here, kind of set the tone for special teams. Good to see. Underwood is actually related to Tommy and Johnny Townsend. So he's got that Gator blood in him and definitely showed up on Saturday. The only negative I would say for special teams, we did allow a 38-yard kickoff return. Wasn't, a critical error, but obviously something Florida will want to clean up moving into the meat of the schedule that we're going to get to, where that will lead to points if for better teams. Now it's time to talk about the bad. And guys, I know we won and we won handily, but there was definitely some bad that needs to be talked about, mainly Florida's defense. The Gators' run D gave up 240 yards on the ground. That's 4.3 yards per carry. Florida's defensive lines, particularly in the middle, is pretty putrid. And they are going to get the ball run down their throats when they visit Texas and Georgia and Ole Miss and some of these teams down the line if they do not figure out a way to shore up that defensive front. When Mississippi State went up tempo, Florida's defense looked lost. The problem with this is that this is not the only up-tempo team that Florida will face as we, you know, head into this death march that is looming our direction later in October. The Gators also look winded when Mississippi State went up-tempo. And, you know, for all the hype about the new strength and conditioning staff that we had all offseason, don't love when Florida's getting winded against what is now decidedly the worst team in the SEC. Congratulations, Gators. It's not you, because this was a battle for last place, and thankfully, you're second to last. I said there was a lot of negatives about the defense, and there were, but I do think that Shamar James and Jason Marshall Jr. played really well. They've both played really well this entire season. So if you're looking for a bright spot on defense, that would be it. I have some questions about Florida's running game as well. Overall, they were good. 226 yards. Montrell Johnson got the bulk of those, 15 carries for 68 yards. I kind of think that the eye test is telling us we need to spread the ball around a little bit more to Jaden Baugh, Treon Webb, and even Jacoby Jackson. Baugh had 4 carries for 53 yards. Webb had 42 yards on 8 carries, and Jacoby Jackson 3 carries for 18 yards, including that 10-yard touchdown run. I just think, one, they're protecting the football a little bit better than Montrell is right now, but two, they're hitting those holes better. They look more explosive. They're getting more yards per carry. I think it may be time to, you know, not have Johnson be the number one running back in terms of number of reps he's getting at the position. I don't know. It's a good problem to have when you've got a stacked running back room, but I kind of think some of the guys that are behind him have been more effective for us. Let's talk a little bit about the ugly. Were you guys watching game day when Saban just absolutely roasted Florida's brass? He talked about the fact that there has been 4 coaches that have failed, right, in a row. And at some point, you agree that that's systemic as opposed to an issue with each individual coach. And he talked about the fact that Florida was behind on facilities. They should have been taking advantage of that Urban Meyer era to build those massive buildings that, hey, Alabama did, right? Ohio State did, Georgia did. And, you know, we have great facilities now, but it's a day late, dollar short. And our facilities that exist are good, but they're still not even the best in the country. And we just opened them a couple of years ago. So he talks about that. And he talks about, you know, that there has to be something wrong higher up to continually have this issue. Kurt Herbstreit chimed in and he said that it's hard to wrap his mind around, that his brain doesn't compute with how bad Florida is right now, and that this really has to be a top-down problem. And, you know, I hope Florida's boosters are paying attention and listening, because I don't think firing Coach Napier and stopping there fixes the problem. I think there's some real shakeups that need to happen at the athletic department and maybe even above to get Florida football and, you know, all athletics within the program back on track. Okay, so the Gators won, right? Napier's probably safe for the next 2 weeks. Florida's going into a bye. They've got 2 weeks to get ready for UCF. It's hard to imagine firing a coach this early in the season after a win. So I think that he remains UF's coach until at least the UCF game. If they win that game, he's the coach heading into Tennessee, right? I still think more than likely Coach Napier is not the guy by the end of the season. But I also fully understand that it's hard to fire a guy after a win, right? So I think we're in this kind of weird limbo position. And is there a chance that Coach Napier climbs out of this? Yeah, there's always a chance. I think it is unlikely at this point. But as long as players continue to be bought in and this team continues to show fight, you know, we kind of are where we are, right? I think Coach Napier will continue to be the coach. And I really do think we need to shout this team out for the kind of performance we saw on Saturday. Was it perfect? No. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. But you know what they did? They circled the wagons. They went on the road. They went to Starkville, which is a place that historically Florida really struggles with. And they came home with not just a win, but a resounding win. The offense looked really good at times. I still have massive question marks about how we're alternating this, you know, this quarterback situation here. I don't love taking momentum out of one guy's hands and throwing another guy in there. I think both of them are great quarterbacks. Okay, so it's not a knock on either one of them at all. I just think that Napier doesn't have a great feel for the rhythm of the game, and I don't love committing to what guy is going to go where and basically sticking through it. You know, we watched Graham Mertz score his third touchdown, and then the very next series, we watched Florida trot DJ Lagway out there. That's hard for me to understand. But it's the position we're in. We'll see if that changes headed into the UCF game. That's an area, though, where I wish Florida would still continue to tweak the methodology, so to speak. Don't worry, we're going to have a ton more content in the bye week coming your way. So make sure you are subscribed to this channel and tuned in, because you're going to want to hear from all of the guests and different things that we have coming your way. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, go Gators.